Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. All right, this week's scripture is Proverbs 22:6, which says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he'll not depart."
So even when your pastor's Jay's age, you won't depart. So even when you get old, that's nice. That's beautiful. Thank you very much, Tony Financial Services, providing the scripture of the week. Tony Financial Services is trusted management. Basically, we talk about this a lot on here, if you'll hear us. Like, this is somebody that's a kingdom advisor. That means, Pastor Jay, like, you got to go through scrutiny and make sure that you're doing dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And
right. High integrity.
High integrity. Yeah. And Jamie Tony is as well. So we're grateful to have his support and continued partnership and commitment to faith-based stewardship.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. Today, we're talking about parenting teenagers. So, Pollack family, big summer plans this year?
Yeah.
Got anything going on?
Well, you know, it's when you play sports, they take your whole summer. Like,
especially high school sports.
High school sports take every week but two for football. And so, literally,
so you have, like, workout.
Yeah, like, you're just like you got workouts, you got 7-on-7s. Well, Leah has basketball all June, and then off all July. That's why I continue to tell parents to stop doing all the stuff when you're young, because you're going to do plenty when you get in high school.
Yeah,
go take vacations in middle school and elementary school and forget all the travel ball stuff. Now, you know, I got a good story for you, though. How about this? We go, Leah had a tournament in College Station.
Okay. And Texas A&M.
Yep. And so we fly. We're going to wait till after practice on Thursday night because Nicholas has football, so we can have him. So he can come with us as much as he wanted to, by the way. He had zero desire to want to go.
Man.
Why would you want to go watch your sister, girl? Why would you want to go watch girls basketball?
But it'd be cool to go to College Station. Be cool to see Texas A&M.
But you're in a gym watching girls basketball the whole time. Okay. I get it. Listen, I understand why he would not want to go. So because of that, flight gets delayed. We end up leaving at 11 something. We get in at 2:00. We get our rental car. I'm an Emerald member, so you go get your car and then you drive out. Like, that's I've been doing it for so many years now. Go get the rental car at National, drive to the exit, closed. Cars in front of all of them at 2:30 in the morning.
There's no way to get out of the airport.
So I'm literally sitting in the airport at 2:30
with your family.
With my family. It's a 90-minute drive to from Houston, because it's at Houston, a 90-minute drive to College Station.
Okay.
And I drove around a little bit, and this lady was like, "They'll be here at 4:30, 4:45. No, 4:45. And I was like, "You can't let me out?" She's like, "No, that's when the people get here." So I jumped out of our car with Lindsay and Leah, and me and Nicholas got in another rental car that was sitting there, and we slept. And Leah and Lindsay slept for like 60 minutes, 70 minutes.
This is crazy.
And then somebody got to the gate. So at like 4:45, we got out. And then we ended up getting to the, we got to College Station at 6:30, 6:45 Friday a.m. And then we took a little nap. And then Leah's games was like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 hours later. Like, that was the start of the trip. Wow. I was like, Nicholas already didn't want to be there. And I'm like, that was a great way to start. But yeah. I was like, hey, we'll never forget this.
Yeah, that's like y'all build memories.
We slept in the national parking lot, baby. Let's get weird. Like it was something we'll never forget. So we're doing that too. Like just so much, you know, going on with your kids nowadays. It's interesting. It's definitely busy, but we're going to the beach twice in our 2 weeks, which is cool. Okay. So Lindsay loves the beach. Nicholas loves the beach. And so
where do y'all go to the beach?
We're going to Carillon Beach in Panama City.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's like a little neighborhood and they all get bikes and they drive wherever they want to go through the neighborhood. And there's like 8 or 10 families that we know that will be there.
Okay.
And you can drive to the front and get your food and you can drive all over the place. And I think the kids love going to play pickleball and basketball and then on the beach. And you got so many people, you know, it's a fun trip every year.
Yeah, that's awesome. So speaking of Texas A&M, I don't know if you knew that Jennifer and I are super into University of Georgia women's tennis team.
Okay.
And their big rivalry is Texas A&M. And they actually just beat A&M in the national championship match. Like Jennifer and I.
Wait a minute. Georgia won a natty?
Georgia won the natty, the women's tennis natty.
Nice. I knew that. Go Dogs. Yeah, I knew
that. Georgia sports is pretty big right now.
West just said that we won an equestrian too.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to the Georgia women's tennis team because Jennifer loves this. Okay. We actually watched the national championship match on our computer when we're in La Jolla on our 30th wedding anniversary. That's how much we're into this.
That's amazing.
And Dasha, the number one player for Georgia.
Dasha.
She won the singles championship, the doubles championship, and the team championship. There's only been three women in NCAA history to win the Triple Crown.
Dasha!
And she was one of them. So anyway, big shout out to the women's tennis team. It's one of Jennifer and I's most favorite things to do because it's free.
Well, you love tennis.
Yeah, well, we love tennis. She loves tennis. I played college tennis. So it's just fun. If you ever go to these tennis matches.
Where'd you finish in the national championship picture in your college career?
Singles, I was 15. Doubles, I was 2. Lost in the national.
Lost in the national title.
First loser.
First place loser. Was there like a good memory from that? Like, was it close? Or did y'all get wiped?
No, it was pretty close. It was pretty close. It was pretty close.
What is pretty close? Like 3-3?
It was like 4-4. It was straight sets.
So did you have...
It wasn't three setter.
What would you have done? Could you have done something differently? Or were they just that much better than you?
Well, the thing I think about... I probably thought about this every day for the 15 years after college... was I was playing the number 2 guy in the nation in the quarter or round of 16.
Okay.
And I was up.
This is singles?
This is singles.
Okay.
I'm up on the number 2 guy in the nation, 6-2, 2-0, 40-30. So I could have gone up.
3-0.
And I hit a kick serve out wide. He was a lefty. Hit a cross court winner. And in my mind, you can ask Jennifer this, I would say every day I should have hit a flat serve up the middle. Like, my regret is I should have hit a flat serve because the very next game I was up 40-love. I could have been up 4-0. And this is the number 2 guy in the nation. Would have put me in the quarters.
Wait a minute. You blew 40-love too?
Yeah. Yeah. And he ended up coming back and beat me in 3 sets.
Did you choke?
That's what
did
I
you
think
choke?
About. I don't think I choked, but I think I didn't.
40-love.
So
is that?
So in tennis,
that's got,
you know.
Tyrese Halliburton choke all over
it. Red light, green light, yellow light.
Okay.
And so when you're up, you should have the green light and go for your big serve.
Okay.
But I was playing more like a yellow light situation.
Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go wide to a lefty that hits their forehand. That's kind of stupid.
I was playing conservative. I was you know.
Well, play conservative to their backhand.
Well, you're reliving my whole. Like, I thought about it.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the natty, though. It was in the – I mean, you still would have had to beat a bunch of –
I still would have had – but the next match would have been indoors because it rained. I think I could have beat that guy. And then the guy that we beat in doubles, I would have played him next in the semis. We beat him in doubles.
You just smashed everybody.
Because he had a one-handed –
You basically would have had a natty.
Slice backhand.
You would have had a ring.
I don't know. But, you know, looking back on it, that was a long time ago. But we love going to the Georgia – tennis matches. So, you know what? You know what's something I want to bring up with you. is people keep asking me about these jobs that you've gotten that they've seen on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, fake news.
These fake jobs.
Like, people are like, no, it's on the internet. He got it. And I'm like, I think if he got a job, he would have told me that he got a job.
My friends that I know really well will text me, and I'm like, really? Like, you think that's my job? Or the Netflix documentary, I've seen that a bunch too. Like
Georgia Bulldog for Life or something?
Yeah, something like that. I've got a couple of those.
What's up with this fake stuff?
My father-in-law texted me that and asked if I was producing it.
Oh, Wes said his father-in-law texted him and asked him if he was producing it, the documentary.
But yeah, all the guys in my group keep asking me about this stuff. I'm like,
it's not real.
Fake news.
It's not real, but that's okay.
You have any announcements to make?
No,
Other than the Family Goals podcast.
Other than the thriving Family Goals podcast that hopefully we don't choke like you did in tennis.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Yeah, we don't need to go there.
Okay. You know, people can't hear Wes, right? Like, they when he talks, they can't hear him.
Well, then you can repeat if you want. You can repeat him. Wes is on my side, though. I like Wes. Davey's always trying to get under my skin.
No,
trying to give me a hard time.
All right, let's get to the message.
So one of the things you keep wanting to talk about on the podcast that probably the last several months is like, teenagers dating. Let's talk about teenagers dating. Now, you have two teenagers.
Yeah, 16 and 14.
16 and 14. I have a 17-year-old, Jessie, who's going to be a senior in high school. And so she's dating. She has a boyfriend. And so I thought
Does she?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Are we serious?
Pretty serious. His name's Maverick.
Maverick?
Maverick Nikolai.
Does he have a buddy named Goose?
Maverick Nikolai.
Maverick.
So Jesse had the three C's when it comes to dating. You want to hear Jesse's three C's?
I would love to hear the three C's.
Christian.
Okay.
Cute. And country.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I like that.
And Maverick's, he's a bass fisherman. He and his dad do bass fishing trips on the Saturdays, and they typically always place. But, you know, we wouldn't let Jessie date till she was 16. Like, okay. She could not date.
Define date.
A singular relationship with a boy.
Okay. So she's not allowed to go do something with a boy until she was 16.
Correct.
Until she could drive.
Correct.
Now, what about communication?
It's hard to limit that, but
correct.
There was some communication, but she would always communicate with the boy like, I'm not allowed to have a boyfriend. I'm not allowed to date until I'm 16. But I think she went to like a middle school dance with somebody. I don't know what you call those. Prom. I don't know what they're called.
Middle school's not prom, but prom's high school.
Prom. Yeah. But she did that kind of thing where they get dressed up and take pictures and. Yeah. Like one boy, this kid Luke, he went with like six of the girls.
Nice, it's good odds right there.
So, so we went through the whole dating thing with two of our older kids.
Yeah,
and then Jesse.
So, what did you learn that you implemented or did differently, or made sure you did the same from one to two to three?
The biggest thing with Jesse is it wasn't even a possibility till she turned 16.
Before that, the other ones, it was?
You know, Julia never really dated much. She never really had many boyfriends or anything like that. Jolin, we found out, he and this girl named Claire dated all through high school. Like, maybe started in the eighth grade, all through high school.
You didn't even know for a while?
We didn't know for a while. We like, someone sent us a picture of them, like, on a roller coaster at the county fair, you know, that kind of thing.
That's hilarious. How'd you handle that?
It was fun. I mean, no big deal.
Okay. So there, because there wasn't really a rule against it, but he was hiding it from you?
He wasn't hiding it. I mean, Jolin's very shy, you know, very quiet. So.
Cool. I think it's an interesting topic because I would argue everyone needs rules. I think it's a good thing to have rules. I think it's a good thing to understand your kids to understand expectations and what that means. Like, I think it's good to, you know, listen, we want to talk our kids through all of this stuff, right? And I think the most important thing, you absolutely want your kids dating, like, before they leave high school, 100%. Like, You want them to learn while they're underneath your roof, while they can ask you those questions. I think that's pivotal. I think it's really important. So don't push it away, push it away, push it away. I think, you know, I would think you'd want to kind of embrace it because, you know, you get to do this, you know, together. And
I'm
you get
surprised
to help them.
Hear you say that. I thought you were going to be the opposite of that.
Well, I mean, listen, I think there's a responsible age. I don't think 13 you should be dating anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you should. Now, and I also, like, we're going to have a lot of different rules probably than other people in what we consider dating. Like, you can communicate with people. That's fine. But spending one-on-one time, you know, with somebody, that's not going to happen. Like, that's not happening. And when you can drive, you can start doing your own thing. Like, you get the opportunity.
At what age can they start spending time with someone of opposite sex by themselves?
When they drive.
Okay.
You know, when you're 16 years old and you can't control that.
You really
that
have no control
they
over
can,
that.
They can go where they want.
Do whatever
they can
they
go
want
to the
do.
Fair and ride a roller coaster and you don't yeah. even know about it. Like, right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
So I think it is, it's important to stress boundaries. It's important for them to try to, like, I think it's important to talk about it a lot with them and for the understanding of the why. You know, just like with our cell phone rules in our house. Like, you know, I love with discipline in our house. Like, I, you know, just like the other day, I was asking our kids, I'm like, hey, will you spank your kids? You know, just so I can get a dialogue going of like how they see things, how what they understand. Like, hey, will you
have. I'm sure that's not something they've thought about.
Well, no, but they haven't. But like Leo immediately said, no. Nicholas was like, I don't know. I was like, well, what do you think? Like, think about it. Like, but I think that's a pivotal, that's a great point, what you just brought up. It's our job to, before they leave us, bro. In every situation, we need them to be able to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. We need them to be able to answer questions that are really, really important. We also need them to be able to understand another thing. They need to understand that they don't know the answers to all the questions, and that's okay. But to seek the answers, they don't seek their peers. Your peers aren't giving you the answers. Like, there are right answers. Just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean there's not a right answer. But I would argue that, like, we want to teach them how to go to the right source, right? Like, and ask the right questions with the right source. And so I think it's really important. And you don't want to force anything. You know, you're not going to force anything on your kids. But, you know, being able to set realistic expectations, understanding, like, this is a friendship. Like, you build it from a friendship.
What do you think is the purpose of dating in high school? Like, what were, like,
I think there's a ton of purposes.
I mean, ultimately the purpose of dating someone would be to get married, but in high school, obviously someone's not getting married.
Correct.
In high school. So what do you think are the, what, why would it be healthy for someone to have a dating relationship?
It is so important for everyone to learn people skills. Like, I have to learn how to communicate with the opposite sex. I have to learn how to communicate with the same sex as well. Like, but learning how to talk to a woman, how to talk to a girl, like how to understand when I have things in common with people, when I don't, if I don't talk to them, how am I going to learn that? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to learn that. Like, that is a, having social skills and problem solving skills and understanding the opposite sex. Like, those are important things that I have to understand what I start to like, what I don't like, what intrigues me, what is something that now I'm like, okay, now I know what I want. Like, if I know this girl's, if I only know one girl, I don't know what girls are like. Like, but if I can start to be around girls and I understand their personalities and understand that they are different, they do have different hobbies, they do have different things, and how do I learn that and learn them and be able to communicate? That's huge, man. Like, those are big things for me.
Well, I think the world's way of dating and God's way of dating are two completely different things. So the world's way of dating, if you think back to high school, junior high, you know, all of that. The world's way of dating is you get exclusive with one person, you get hot and heavy, you move very quickly, you do things that only married people are supposed to do, and then when it doesn't work out, you break up with that person, and then you repeat the pattern, and it just, I've seen it over the years, you know, but if that's the pattern you establish, you're basically setting yourself up for divorce because you've had all these many divorces throughout your whole life because you've done it the world's way. Well, when you get into a marriage situation, you get hot and heavy, it goes real quick, things don't work out, well, you break up. And you see the world doing this all the time, where these people now have had multiple marriages, multiple divorces, multiple relationships, multiple kids with multiple people. And, man, you can save your kids so much heartache by just teaching them God's way of relationship.
So what's God's way of relationship for a high school kid?
I think
first, what does that look like?
I think first and foremost, purity is of the highest standard. That
boundaries.
Boundaries. You talked about not being alone with someone of the opposite, not being in a compromising situation.
Nope.
I love the verse. I think it's 1 Timothy 5:2. It says, "Treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." And so we want to teach our sons to treat their girlfriends, friends that are girls. And you mentioned this earlier, relationships. They're building friendships. It's a friendship. Like,
correct.
Because ultimately, you want to marry your best friend. I mean, you want to marry your best friend. And so helping these boys understand, how do you develop friendships with someone of the opposite sex? And you mentioned this earlier. But it's so much of it is finding, you know, learning to talk. You talk differently to girls than you talk to boys.
Yeah. And that's
And you touch differently. You relate differently. So much in life is, even having good manners.
Yeah.
What's appropriate to say, what's not appropriate to say, what's appropriate to do, what's not appropriate to do. But I think learning all of this stuff, but if all of this is going on while your kids are still living under your roof, you can coach, you can help, can encourage.
Yeah, because the bottom line is what the world and their friends are going to tell them is going to be very different than you want. Like, and so if that's who they're seeking, and that's why, you know, and I got to do a better job of this with my, like, I just got to do a better job of listening and asking questions and not always trying to force my opinion on something. And, you know, for example, with Nicholas, like, Nicholas has gotten to the point now where he's in a locker room. Well, what do they play in the locker room? They play a bunch of rap music with a bunch of explicit lyrics, like, that I don't love. I don't love it at all. I hate it. Like, I don't want him to listen to that, but he likes listening to it now. And he never used to like listening to it. And I had a simple conversation with him the other day. And I was like, "Hey man, like, you're not going to hell for listening to that music." I was like, "You're not." But I'll say this. I said, "I just wish I wouldn't have. And I wish I wouldn't have put those thoughts in my head and in my heart, because it came more out my mouth." And I was like, "This is something like little." And this was the best part that I did. I did some parts that I wish I could do better with the speaking to him. But I was like, "What's the difference in listening to that music with F-bombs and not? Like, what is the difference?" He was like, "There's not really a difference." I was like, "Well, if there's not really a difference, then why would we listen to it?" You know, I was like, I'm trying to get him to make that decision, not me. If he makes the decision because of me, it's not going to matter. Like, I want him to make the decision because of him. And so being able to have that conversation, I'm like, here's the thing. You're influenced by the people around you. You used to tell me you would never listen to music like that. You don't want to listen to music like that. I said, the more you're around people, the more they'll wear off on you and the more it becomes normal. And I was like, so you just got to watch, man, because it gets one foothold. It's one little thing that turns into another little thing that turns into another little thing that becomes a big thing. But trying to explain that to him without judging him, with asking questions, with getting him to, because here's another thing too, I got to do a better job of, like, I need to let them articulate what they feel and how they, because they've got to understand things for themselves, but they've got to think for themselves. It can't just always be because my mom says this, because my dad says this. And so I think that's been kind of a.
So how do you help them develop their own convictions?
Yeah, I think it's, like, my goal was to present a side of the story that shows you that there's it's, first of all, I'm asking you if it's any good. Like, is this good for you? Like, tell me how this is good for you. So I put that in his head now. He knows now that's not really that good. That's not good for me. I can't even think of a reason why it's good for me. Like, but also the fact that, am I really going to do what everybody else is doing all the time? And so I think, you know, trying to get them to understand that's the goal, right? Is like, how do I get him to think on his own? And how do I get him to understand, like, it doesn't seem like it matters. And it's all around me and people are doing it all over the place. So why don't I just do it too? But it does matter because the consequences are, there are consequences down the road. And I try to explain that I lived them. Like, because of that, I said things I shouldn't have said. I thought things I shouldn't have thought. And so that's how I try to do it with him. And the older they get, the more, like, listen, when they're young and they answer questions, it's very black and white. As they get older and ask questions, it's a different, they're trying to discover things, but questions and arguments are different, right? Like, how do we have questions and how do we get them to take it? And so lean on facts, but be able to articulate and say it in your way. Like, how can I articulate it and say it? And then I think the next thing is, how do I defend it? Because these are all steps that are going to come, right? Like, I have to be able to learn the facts. So I want to teach him the facts. I have to be able to articulate and say why that is, because when I get asked to defend where I stand or why I do it, like, I want him to know that. And then in defending it, like, against people that disagree with me. Because that's the thing. Now he's going to go, he has that information from me. He's going to go with his buddies and they're going to be like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how do my kids handle when they are having to defend something, but they don't always know the answers to it, right? Like, because you're not always going to know the answers, but being able to still defend it and disagree with it and understand those things. I think those are important things to separate.
And I think when the kids are at different ages, our parenting style
is different.
Oh, yeah. So when they're young, you're more like,
You're
more of a commander. You're like,
yeah,
this is how it's going to be. And then you become like a coach. But kind of when you get into high school, it's kind of more like counseling. It's more like you're coaching them up. You're still coaching them, but you're also more listening and you're helping them talk it through so that they can develop a conviction of their own. Now, of course, biblical convictions come from the Bible. So having some Bible verses like say language, for instance, you know, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but helping them back up their convictions with biblical truths. But you have to lead them to the point where they're ready to, like, they're not just saying it because it's your conviction.
It's theirs.
It's their, like, the whole, like, developing a faith of their own, developing a conviction of their own. But it's interesting with the music, like, even a lot of the songs I listened to when I was in high school, like 80s rock, so many songs were about sex.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even know it.
Yeah, you look back
and
you
know these songs.
You start singing
sex.
The words now, you're like, oh, dang.
That's uncomfortable. Listen, you know, but I'm unfamiliar with, like, the songs back then didn't have F-bombs in it and this kind of stuff.
I mean, when we grew up, it did, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, maybe not when it's black and white and different things. Yeah, I mean, definitely our age group, like, it was, you know, you had Tupac and Biggie and you had plenty of F-bombs.
I was before the rap scene.
Correct. Yeah. So I mean, it's a part of it, man. It's an interesting, it's all interesting. But
so why did you bring that up about the language? Because you feel like the language transitions to the dating?
No, I just, the whole goal of this podcast to me is to, like, try to help people think about conversations and ways to say things and ways to bring things up and how to have a conversation. Because I don't think people know how to do it. I don't know how to do it a lot of times, but, like, sharing successes and failures, I think is, you know, I don't know that people think about that. Like, the music they're putting in their minds, like, that's a big deal to me. It's one of the foundational things that leads to the next thing, that leads to the next thing, that leads to the next thing. But I think it was more about just how to communicate with kids and teens.
So if there's a dad out there, a mom out there who knows their child's listening to this explicit type music, what would be your encouragement to, how should they go about having a conversation with their child?
Well, I think you block it as long as possible, which you can. And we've had it blocked for a long time. I'm not even really sure how Nicholas could download stuff, but he can now. Like, there's an E next to it. He can. For a long time, he didn't want to, and he would stay away from that. So block them for a long time. Now, listen, once you start hearing the locker rooms, you can't unhear it. Like, you're going to have those opportunities. But I think you get nothing from telling them they can't listen to it. Like, I don't... I can tell Nicholas that all I want, like, and I can make him not listen to him. That's not what I'm trying to accomplish. I want him to choose not to listen to it. So, like, how can I present, how do I present things to them and say things in a way that maybe they think about it and maybe they understand that it's not the best thing for them? Here's the hard part. But if they choose to listen to it anyways, I got to accept it.
It's his choice.
It's his choice.
Her choice.
His or her choice, and they're going to be their consequences as mm-hmm. they get older. But like, I can't micromanage every part of their lives, mm-hmm. how they dress in every situation, like how they, what they're listening to music. So I've got to allow them to have, like, this might be a phase where, you know, a couple months from now, he's like, this is stupid. What am I doing? You know, but that's why I like to bring things like that up, because first of all, I want you to know, Nicholas is not a perfect kid. He's struggling with a bunch of stuff. So is Leah. And I think these conversations we have with them and tell them the dangers of different things. And like my kids are very aware, and they could articulate very well why a cell phone is not good for them. Like, they know exactly what it is. They know why. They've felt it. They know why certain social media platforms aren't good for them. They know, I mean, like, we want them to know these things and arm themselves and be able to defend their decisions and to make good decisions in the future. And listen, this will be easy when they get older. It won't be hard, because they know, like, if I'm listening to that crap, it's there and I don't need it. And so, but I think just not judging them, but asking questions, presenting facts, and then letting them, you know, make decisions, I think is,
I think there, a smart there's thing. This balance between protecting and sheltering your kids and then allowing them to experience some things while they're still under your roof. Because if you, let's just say you send your kid to private school where they're not going to have that kind of music in the locker room, right? And that's one reason why people would do that. Well, maybe,
but
maybe
they would. But they maybe, absolutely still do.
Maybe they would. But in our minds, the parents we're trying to shelter, we're trying to protect, because we don't want to expose them to that stuff. So we're going to go to Christian school.
Yeah.
But I would kind of make the argument with Wes, our producer, kind of snickered when I said that. It could be just as bad in a Christian school, because just as a Christian school doesn't mean they're all Christian.
No.
And are going there.
Well, and it goes back to the germ thing we talked about last episode. Like, sure, you can hand sanitize and make them wash their hands and all that stuff. Like, but they're going to get sick. Like, you can't put them in a bubble and they get sick and they learn, or their immune system grows and gets stronger, gets more resilient. They're going to have these things that they're going to have to make. If they're going to make those decisions when they go off to college, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's where I was going. If you completely shelter them till they get off to school, then
every time they make a decision, it's going to be based on what their peers tell them. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, every single decision-making process is going to be like, wait a minute. Well, why do you do that? Like, well, it's because of this. And they're learning from them, as opposed to like, hey, they so-and-so does this. Like, I want to go do this possibly. Like, well, I can just tell you why we're not going to do that in our house. But again, I think they need to be able to defend their position. Like, I want to do a much better job with my kids of like, hey, sit down for dinner and hey, I'm on this side. I'm not a believer. So I want you to tell me why I should be a believer. Like, I want to do more of this in my household. And like, okay, tell me why you're a believer. Okay, well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. What's your retort? You know what I'm saying? Like, have them come up with their own opinions and articulating ways to say things.
Try to anticipate situation that they're going to be in and helping them think through things on their own. I remember when Jolin went to college, he was a little bit, because he was a little bit sheltered in high school. I mean, he did go to public high school and he played the sports and did all the stuff. But when he got down in college, he was like, everyone drinks. Like he wasn't around it in high school that much, but when he got to college, he's like, man, everybody I know drinks.
Yep.
And I remember that was kind of a shell shock for him. And I think they got to be exposed to different things at different times. So,
yeah.
But I think exposing them to things while they're in high school, while they're still under your roof is very important.
Well, so here, I wrote this down. I wrote this down thinking about this topic. So kids, when they go and they leave, they're going to be asked questions that they don't know the answer to. So how are we preparing them for those questions? Like, what are the things they're going to see? Like, just because, again, just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean it's wrong. Like, you know, I can give you a million reasons why not to drink, but other people will give you several reasons why, right? Like, but just when you're asked a question and you don't know the answer, like, that doesn't mean you're wrong in what you believe. What doesn't kill you does makes you stronger. Like, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to be attacked. When you go to college, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be scared if you're trying to live a Christian lifestyle, 100%. Like, you're going to feel like an outcast. You're going to have a lot of things that you're going to have a lot of struggles. And that'll be growth opportunities for you, like we've talked about, to build character. But those 100% are coming. So how do we prepare them for those moments? How do we prepare them for that people believe things because not because they're facts? Like, people believe things because they believe them. And they're going to be that way because of their worldviews and because of the way they've been brought up. They're going to believe things. It's not because of facts. That's hard. That's a hard truth to understand. Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to believe things despite the facts, regardless of, and you can argue till we're green in the face, mm-hmm. but some people are going to believe certain things. People are going to believe that there are a group of people that believe that we did not land on the moon. And you could argue facts versus it was a simulation, it was a this, it was that, like, and you could go back and forth. We don't know who's right. We don't know who's wrong. Like, people, you're going to be able to argue, and you're going to have more of that in this society than ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we can get them to understand those three things, I think that would give them a chance to be successful. Understanding, I don't know the answers. Understanding what doesn't kill you will make you stronger, and understanding that people are going to believe things despite facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think helping them, I think it's good asking them these questions ahead of time, help them develop biblical convictions. This is why we believe that the way we believe, helping them develop a faith of their own. I think getting back to the dating, I would encourage people when their kids are in high school to do more group dating, to do more, not get hot and heavy in a individual, exclusive, singular relationship.
Do you have a lot more on this?
No.
Okay. Because we need to wrap this up.
We haven't even gotten into...
Into what?
I got two pages.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's just make a part two. That's what I was asking you. If you have a lot more, let's just make it a part two. Because right where you're talking about right now, I think... let's pick up right where you were at, because I've got some thoughts on that as well. And just part two, we'll do next week. Just, you know, kids, dating, how you help them experience, all that good stuff. It'll be a good listen.